topics now, no? Have you heard what that I've spoken about this? No, no? There's a young crowd here, so I will... Can I take? Would you want to know?
Can I find out?
It's so boring for me, because now I was really entertained talking about consciousness and, you know, how it is practiced and how self-realization takes place and how you... Okay, this is acting complete properly. You know, like, then you don't identify with that memory. You see it as an experience. And then when you analyze how that experience came and how it went away, you can picture it slowly. You have enough tranquility to slow down and to be observant. When you do that, you'll be letting go that junk about the past. Because all these worries and fears and even the future, what do you want? You want a certain experience. What is the experience? It's a consciousness. Do you want to experience emptiness in the future? Do you drive your car to expecting to experience an emptiness? You're thinking, how am I going to improve this business? How am I going to get some my account higher, right? How am I going to pay my mortgage? Okay. So this is something. You don't wish for emptiness. Emptiness is experienced right here and now. Really, your things are empty. They were never you. Even that's why what happens when you really reach those experiences, you are unsatisfied. Tell me anyone who have got those. Only person who was satisfied was who experienced emptiness. All who pursued something, because if it was not like that, there was no need to have a Buddha. The reason, my friend, more you achieve that, if you have attachment to that, the universal law is those things are just an experience of consciousness and factors of consciousness, a feeling, a perception. And all feelings, perceptions, what happen? They come to go. They don't come to stay. So, if you don't get this wisdom and understanding, and then you don't, because you are pursuing a nightmare, because it's going to create more, you misunderstand the reality of this life, you are more unmindful, you are not enlightened about it, then you take it seriously and then you pursue that. And when you see the nature working, the change of it, or sometimes not achieving it, I mean, impossible obstacles come, how much suffering you'll be facing. But when you get a knowledge and an awakening about it, then it is like you awaken from the nightmare, but you are still in the nightmare, but that doesn't follow you. You are there for the sake of being there, but then life becomes smooth and peaceful. So this is what the benefit of self-realization, you know, so these are to happen. That's why when you are reading those original discourses about the Dhamma, about the consciousness, the factors of consciousness, how the I idea comes. Now Buddha one place explains. Today I'm in an interesting mood of explaining these things. Because I was also, okay, I will tell this also. It's very, I also enjoy this, you know, for my own practice. You find that he explains to Nakula Mata, Nakula Pita. You know, the Nakula Mata, they were perfect couples, you know, and then the Nakula Pita, he goes to Buddha and he gets a discourse. What the Buddha says was a one word, one sentence. He said, I am now old, can you tell me a short discourse, you know? I am very old, feeble and everything. Then the Buddha says, your body may be sick, but don't allow the mind to be sick. That's all. Then he came. But he was looking so bright and this thing. Of course, meeting the Buddha, even if you don't hear something, you will become bright and calm, right? So anyway, he came and then it was, I think, Sariputta or Mughalan. One of them. He asked, your faculties look very bright. Did you have a discourse from the Buddha? He said, yes, I had. But then what did he say? He said, I said, I'm old and very weak. Then the Buddha said, your body is sick, but don't allow the mind to be sick. But then he asked, did you question the Buddha further? how the body sick and the mind sick, and how the body is sick and the mind is not sick. And he said, no sir, I didn't ask for that. Then he said, well, then he said, you are capable, sir, to explain. Can you please explain to me? Now this is very nice, my friend. This Buddha explains, what, where do you experience the sickness? When you have a cold, for example, then? When you have a cold or cough, what happens? The body is the one that is experiencing cold, right? Cold is not happening in empty space, no. Okay? This is something happening in the body, the sneezing and all that. Then how do you feel it? That part is the feeling part of your life. You perceive it as a cold or disturbing, irritating, right? And maybe you have hate or irritation, that is the reaction part. Now these are the factors of consciousness. Now this is, if you think this is my cold, the mind is sick. Because you think I am so sick, this is mine, I am sick. So if you see that this cold is not really me, my, this is a temporary phenomenon. But for that you have to observe that. And you are in the awareness of who you are really. There you will not feel, it will make a big difference, my friends. I know one monk, when I was in Sri Lanka, he was very sick, one young monk. And now practically kina I'm telling you practically how to practice these things. Okay? You will relate it to the original sutras, but no point if you can't just do it now. This is Dhammanupassana now. Now it is in detail in the Skandavaka. The Nakulamata Nakulapita, that sutta is in detail how, but those exercises you must do. He says, like when you're sick, you know, like you, it's very nice you, when you think I have, let's see, I might go through it. I'm really interested with that. So, when you do it, very much only you get the self realization. You see suddenly there's no self. These wishes will come when you constantly do this exercise. If you just do it for a short while, this will not happen, my friend. Eka more and it must mature. If it matures, you will suddenly see, really, this was somebody else I was misunderstanding. But that will really, you know, uplift your life. I mean, that is the pinnacle of whatever achievement you can do in samsara. So, anyway, when you notice like that, so he... this monk in this temple, he was so sick, and I got to know him. I'm also a visitor there in Sri Lanka, but when I got to know he's a young monk and nobody, I mean, we don't have parents, we each person have to look after us, so I went to his room. So when I went to his room, he was having fever and all that, so he also had an idea, this is the meditation monk who has come. So he was trying to get up from his bed out of respect or something. I said, no, no, Ayasama, you wait, you're sick, don't worry. And I went close to his bed. And suddenly he told me, maybe it's because I was suffering very much when I was sick. But I remembered a teacher of mine, when I was going as a young monk to one seminary, or we call it Pirinamani, when I was going there, this teacher taught us how to practice mindful meditation, Satipatthana. And he told us, then I remembered what he said, how to watch a feeling, to say, to notice it, not my feeling, it's just a feeling. To take the I or my away, then it's just a feeling. And I started to do that. I just started to tell to myself, this is not my feeling, it's just a feeling. It's not my feeling, it's just a feeling. And when he did that, he said that unbearable feeling he was having, that was slowly reducing. So that is something, my friends, you will definitely experience. I mean, if you really practically do, this first experience I got was when I was in the jungle in 2004. When I was cutting across jungle from Lakkala side, I was walking all the way from Ampara, Kudumbigala, Ampara, like this. It was like a few weeks. And then Kandy, and then back to Lakkala, all by foot, remember. And then, these are my old time, those days, actually, many senior monks that time they were worried because they don't know this tradition. My teacher went like that, German monk, but The monks, they told some of my senior brother monks in Majaram, you know, I was from Mahakama. So they used to call me one day. I remember they saw me from far away in another place in Anuradhapura. And they suddenly waited for me, and when I came near, they asked, "Ayasma, Stavira, how are you? How is your body?" They thought that living like this, you know, that I would deteriorate my... So I just really told honestly to those senior monks, Bante, what is the point having just a body? I don't mind going in a wheelchair, being a fighter, practicing. I mean, you enjoy your time in... If you are now attached to hear my words, what will happen? If you want to really hear, you will say, "Oh, why this lady is not taking the child away?" Right? Now is the time to practice. This is the time to practice, my friends. We are going to lose all our mental disorders now. We are going to have compassion and let go, understand the other persons around us. And I hope we will create that, and you know, this should happen as a Sri Lankan community. We should actually overcome all these other ways of behavior. We should see why. We should never pinpoint the fault outside. We should check what is wrong with us? Why we react like that? Then we must see always a problem comes, you are attached to something. Now you are not attached to silence, you are attached to hearing what I say. Right? So, I am trying to explain this point only. If you can practice right now, you have got my word, you have got my technique. You don't need to hear my words, no problem. If you manage to watch your thoughts and see the attachment to even spiritual Dhamma, and then watch your thoughts and let go. Let me not hear it, no problem. And that way, I hope many things in your life you can overcome in practical practice. So I was telling about where, what was it now? I'm going again to... Sorry? You want to hear that? Without the children, right? All of you are a new group complete. You know, you have never heard anything on the YouTube or nothing, no? You know, nothing. You have heard some of them. This is so boring for me now, but... about the computer, how the Buddha Pretas come from, you know? I will tell you, it might be very helpful. You know, I had some experience with, I don't know, have you heard about rishis? In the Himalayas you have some who have developed their mind, who have some mental power. So they sometimes behind you there are unseen beings who come. But you are not aware of those unseen beings, right? Now, I told you before that if something is driving you to go to the club or do something negative, definitely there are negative forces supporting you. Now, definitely to come to this kind of program also, there are good forces behind you. Definitely, this is, you are not coming to have a beer or something here, isn't it? you are coming to have the meditation beer, right? This is called a rush of dopamine, rush of ojas, tejas. It will make you more beautiful. Today you go to your toilet and you can look at your face. You will notice the shine. that you will get into, well, anyway, something else I must tell before you go. But there are forces behind you that drive you to do certain things. Now you have come like this, definitely there are some good forces. Or something that told you, don't come here. Definitely those, it's not you, it is those forces telling you not to come. Especially they will tell you not to come to this kind of program. Because they will sense there's this surgeon who is going to pluck them out. So I was telling, now this gentleman was picking me from the airport. He said, "I have never faced so much traffic block." I was there in the airport, no problem for me. I mean, I was alone. I have been pampered so much in these programs. I was going through ATT, who was there with me? Now my trust, they want to make insurance policy and all that. They asked me, I said, "Why, what's this? This is against my way of life." Was there insurance policy when I went to ATT? The terrorist said, My insurance policy was, I will tell you what it was. It was the virtue and my belief in the compassion towards them. That I didn't see them as LTT is another story, right? I'm just picking up your... I have no idea of what life I'm going. It was 2003. I went from south of Sri Lanka to north. This is what 1 month it took me, cutting across LTT area. And returned there 1 month. So that's another story if I'm explaining. But I must tell you, when I entered their area, this was the last base I was there, what was it, Gammon Regiment, last night I stayed. Last night means that time, right? And then when I entered, it was in Bomante. Before I entered, the last temple I stayed was Vaunia, the main temple. So we have a practice normally, now even if I am going to die or something, I would ask another monk to purify my virtue. We have to confess any mistake we have done and say, then we get purified. This is normally called apati desana. So normally I would like, if I someone tells Bandhi you are going to die very soon, I would like to do that and ready for that. So because that is something you have no regret. You are keen about your sila. So that time, I don't know, by divine intervention or something, there was a monk from Mathuravida in the guest room where I was staying. So there, I was able to do that, the last minute, before entering. So I confessed whatever small mistake or whatever I did, and I was ready to face death. That's how I entered, and the confidence I had was, this was my insurance policy. And on the way, there were times of the terrorists, you know, they used to ask, they thought this was some political thing, agenda was there. So they asked, who is sponsoring you one place, I remember. I said, God is sponsoring me. It's very true. Because for them I have to tell God, right? Because they only know about these things. So my friends, this virtue, keeping the rules, this is something that will give you so much confidence, strength to face anything. So regarding this keeping the rules, now this one particular rishi that I met, I saw him. I met means, let me tell you in a way, he had this ability to bring those invisible beings around you to the body. He used to, he had that power to make them manifest in who are hiding. So one day I saw this, now there was a boy, young boy, age of 30. I don't want to tell this parents get so worried after I tell, but I will tell you the solution for this also, okay? Don't worry. It doesn't mean that, when he brought this, the complaint was, the boy was not studying properly and was distracted and going for parties and, you know, sort of, you know, going with bad friends and so on. So then suddenly this boy was unconscious, you know, he was not speaking, someone else was speaking, but like this. I don't know, have you ever seen something like that, have you? No, this part I don't know whether you... Yet there is now, from other programs, you will notice some of them, I don't see them here today, but before I see that these beings do come, they are good spirits, they are great beings, they are coming now, they will think of some clearance might happen by meeting this kind of occasion. So I don't see the person today anyway. So this boy was going on like that and they said, who are you? Said some name of a spirit, you know, I am, what is this, snake spirit or something. I don't know, can't remember. And then said, when did you enter this body, you know? When you was 13 years old. How did you enter? You was playing games. Now, when I heard this, I was, you know, like, I was confused, you know, because I don't know what these games are. Of course, I know computer games. Later, I get to know. Games. Now, I got to understand this how. Now, when you wish metta, may everybody be happy and well and so on. You know, this intention creates the consciousness. So when you have this positive intention, it creates a positive consciousness. Now just imagine when you have a negative one, killing, fighting, something. And what was it? I don't know what they were. I have seen this. I've seen some people claiming something. Ting-tong, I don't know, some ghost and but something externalizing you. definitely creating a weaker mind, weaker intention, we activate a weaker consciousness. Now, then I understand. So, when there are weaker consciousness, the beings of weak consciousness get connected to you. So, when I, then the other thing was, I got to know that in research in Oxford, okay, which I don't know, the, in the brain, the dopamine that is sent out or shorted out when you are playing games is same to an addict, alcohol addict. This is very interesting. Now it makes sense. So the rush of dopamine, same of an alcoholic when you are playing games. So addiction to games is happening. It's understandable. Very logical. So even my brother, you know, now my parents, they were also unaware. But this will be recorded. I have told so much about my brother, now he must be immune. What can I do? This is my personal memories of you know, what happened in our family also. He's now married also, but he still plays games. Maybe he sees this video and something might happen to him, I hope. But I don't want to talk to about people, you know, persons, but just which I study. So this dopamine rush is equal to alcohol. And it's very interesting. Now the parents might worry, you know, how can we take away the computer and all that, this one. Don't worry, my friends. I would say, you can separate, you know, like, if you want to do some change in your family, I have seen parents, some parents where the son is a drug addict. He's a friend of mine actually. She was an old friend. She's a very special friend. I knew a long time. Her son was a drug addict, heroin. And then he was going with these gangs. And he couldn't, she couldn't bring her, you know, him to him. She was, he couldn't find him at all. Then what, she was so sad. What she did was, she observed the five precepts. And she started to, focus the Bodhi tree and think of the Buddha's qualities. And just, she waited, she prayed, she was helpless. After 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, the seventh day, the son is coming. Where's mama? Where's mama? Where's mama? So my friends, you see, you know that you might get to know later all these family connections, your parents, your relations, the surroundings, they are created out of you. It is your karma. The way you reacted in the past is manifesting now. So when you want to help somebody, the best way is to purify yourself. Then there will be that personal invisible force that will go and, you know, really help them. And you are not worried also. There was this another question in Sri Lanka where they used to ask me one day when I was in the busy bus stand. One day, in Sri Lanka so many bana is going on, you know. Monks are, so many monks are not teaching the teachings. But nobody is changing. Now I didn't get the answer that time. Nobody is changing, but there's so much here in that place, there is discourse, there is program there. So I kept away and I didn't know the answer. I said, I don't know. Mahatma Madanane. Then when I was going, I got the answer. The answer was, who are teaching the Dhamma, they are not pure themselves. It's not something they have practiced or realized as impure. Look at Somahandru, for example. Did people change or not? They did change. He was like a Vivekananda in Sri Lanka, I would say. He was like a, you know, like a short life, of course, of fame. That time, so many who were drinking, smoking, they were stopping. It was having an impact. But we know, when I was a young boy, he was like a very pious-looking, nice-looking monk. My grandma was a very close supporter of that time. Nobody knows him very much. But we could see him doing walking meditation, vajrayana. Vajrayana is a bit like a temple, you see. It's not like an aranya. You had all these scholar monks and all that. But still, he was actually, you could see him meditating on his own. And we heard later how he stayed in the jungle, in Ampara, that side, how he came walking to Colombo, like developing his willpower. All this he was doing at different stages of his life. So that he was gathering this energy, no doubt. And that short 6 years, Of course, he made such a... People were able to... There was a change in the people. So if you want to change your husband, your wife, or anyone, the best way is to change yourself of any mistake you are doing. When you are purified like that, there's a mystic force that goes. That mystical force is an invisible thing, but it will really help that person to come out of that weakness. Now, if you have a special interest to help somebody, you still have attachment with that person. That attachment is already a corruption. So if you really want to help the person, better get detached from that body. And when the mind is free from that body, you have already solved the problem. This might look a little, you know, so practically if you are going to do it, this is the only way to help the people, my friend. So in our family also, there are so many occasions. So this is one important thing. So purity, your personal purity is the only way to help the people around you. And if you have a special interest to help somebody, that means you're still... Now, I had a great-grandmother who, when the great... great-grandmother, the son, one of the sons, he was dying, he was an alcoholic, and he was a drug addict, not drug addict, but a gambler during the British time. When he was dying, my great-grandmother didn't shed a tear. She didn't even go near. She was in front of a Buddha statue with a japamala. They were in Goa at that time, and with the Burmese temple. They used to visit that place, I think. She was like that. Now she used to tell my mother, she was very religious actually, that this is how you practice the 9 days how a body decomposes. When a body dies, how it decomposes. Now, my friend, she used to show those pictures in the Buddha's one method of meditation, and this is how we practice. That means she has been practicing these things. You know, my friends, we are normally attached to a form, a picture of a person. Again, you are not attached to an empty person. No? It is a feeling, a perception, and a special feeling. This is my son. This is my... I think I don't have that experience. So, but I can look at the parents, even my own parents. I'm getting a message even now, you know, through this gentleman. Just reminding to take a certain tablet. Thinking I'm like a small baby still. They managed to contact the organizers. That shows the parents that consciousness is not easy. You know, and I am looking after other people now. It's something that I understand, you know, you can't change. Unless like my great-grandma, if they do the practice. Now, if a child dies and is reborn, would you like that child as that person who is reborn again? Do you want to adopt that child? Just have you ever imagined like that? No, you want that old child. You still have the picture of that child. And even if it's little bigger than, even if you have the same picture, even little, 1, 2, 3 years change, you don't want that picture. You want the picture, you are attached to a picture. It may be that boy is born and is going nicely in another family, but you worry so much. You identify with that picture as you, yourself. Again, that not properly see who you are. Whether that child is really that person or whether it's you who is seeing that child is really you. You have never questioned that and come to a realized experiential thing. So that auntie, just imagine, if you are undisturbed as a mother, like my great-grandma, what a powerful person she is for the family. She is the one who will liberate the whole family if you have such a relation. But if you are someone who worries and gets disturbed because of you, you will be a burden, my friends. Say you worry and you die, will you go to a good place? You go to a bad place, and where you follow as a ghost to get married? You are a burden to that family. But if you are detached, while you are leading, Master, you are strength to that family. Example, the light. And, you know, after you die also, the 7 generations, it is said, they get liberated. If you glimpse the final truth by removing illusion. This is removing illusion. Delusion. So, another one. Today I'm happy a little bit on some topics of the computers. I was telling, okay. So I just told how these spirits enter. But the other thing for the family, now parents need a body, now how to restrict and all that. These are big problems. I think when they're young, they should bring them to play functions like this. Simple. You must bring them to these functions and have a daily kind of prayer moment in the morning, evening, together, chanting. It's not easy when you're in Lesotho, it's all stopped, you know. And I brought back again to the family when they came back to Sri Lanka. So these are important. We have some spiritual activity so that they are getting that type of energy, vibration and stimulation. And then they will get the strength and they must be told also what these things are happening to the computers or whatever. So now some children, they are in Paris, in France, I heard that they are trying to play games saying ghost will come. It's true. And I am happy that teaching has some way this thing. But that doesn't matter. These addictions also come from previous, you know, weaknesses in previous lives. So not everybody it happens. So at least we must be a little careful about our children. So that is one. The other place, another spirit enters the body and it says it came through Facebook. But now I understand. I don't know. I understand if anywhere in the now computer as an instrument of technology, it's not harmful, my friends. You see, now this mic, I'm speaking, this mic is not a problem. It's a help for me to communicate. This is neutral. Now I'm speaking also something which is maybe give you peace and tranquility. That is good news. Say if I'm announcing some meaning of lottery or horse race through this. That's the wrong purpose of using it. So even a vehicle, you know, you come to this using a vehicle, it's good. But you go with a vehicle, I don't know, this is England, no? You're going to Soho or somewhere, maybe London, right? Using a vehicle. So, is it correct? I don't know, my father used to tell some stories about when I was a young man. Soho is like a very bad place in London, no? London area. Okay. So it's the same name, is it? Many years ago, he used to tell. He was here 10 years when he was a young man. So if you are going in your vehicle there, my friends, definitely, that is damaging. The vehicle, that's not there. If you, so the computer, you have everything in it now. You don't have to go somewhere. The same feelings, the same experience you can get from the computer. So if you are enjoying or activating definitely something through that, those spirits are definitely there because you have greater, more stronger spirits. Because in your privacy, I told you one place where they told me that like when you even think of pressing that button, when you try to open the website, you know, website, that very thought itself, they are, that you are under their control. So you're just draining your energy, you know, when you give these impressions, slowly, slowly, my friends, because this will only lead to a more, to start from the mind, then it will go into an action. I hope all of you are listening, I mean, some of you, I hope this will echo in your life, because in Melbourne, when I told about how the spirits are involved, when some of them went to Melbourne city, suddenly, you know, they had to all this because they were telling Mante, I don't do any bad things, nothing. But I found that they don't do certain things like saving a mosquito and killing an elephant. They were doing some things, like they were doing small things, they were thinking they were big. But But then they realized when they were going to the city, suddenly they felt tempted to do something. They remembered, oh, Bhante said there are demons behind this. And they managed to keep away. So after that, I was very concerned to explain this matter all the way, all the time in Australia. So this is a common thing. And graphically, if you get to know, then you can understand. You don't have to see demons. From your actions, you can know whether, or the drive, you know they are, and in your dreams also. In your dreams, if you have nightmarish dreams, or you find suddenly somebody is pulling your leg or something, okay, don't worry. I'm giving some tips of recognizing. They say, you know, once I remember, there was some psychic person said, there is one demon following you. So this person said, good, we don't see them. Good, we don't see, you know, at least, I mean, if we saw how we will, but we must know where we are driven to demon activity, so we can resist temptation and then purify our life, so we can go towards liberation. What is blocking our liberation can be slowly stopped. So there is one other thing very important. In this way of energy drain, going to Nirvana, initially I explained of self-realization and coming to this topic, it's okay. There was this very interesting other experience I had. Now, with certain degree of sensual desires, sensual, you know, the thing, the hormones are created such a way, they get deposited in the lower part, like a muck. That muck, there are certain spirits that eat that muck. Especially with, I would say, sexual aspect of it. And when you know like that, you will notice. Now, I'm giving you some tips, ideas to notice what is going on in you in case it's happening. So, when these things, my friend, I find that very interesting. The Buddha gives, he explains, he has given some rules to us. Where certain rules, he has told us grave offense. Now, he means grave offense because it disturbs you or damages your way to liberation or tranquilizing or becoming peaceful. Now, there are especially the first two. The first four, if you break, I have to destroy. But there are first two rules, very interesting. Those days, he proclaimed those rules when there were few people who were breaking them. These are also after 20 years. First 20 years, the bonds were so pure, this was not happening. But after the 20 years, slowly, one by one, it was happening. And it was few still. But he laid down these rules. That's why he said these rules are for the future. Because this will become more and more in the coming time. And now, it's difficult to find people who are not breaking this particular thing. Or this is normally called Kumara Brahmacharya in the olden times. We had this practice in the olden times. Now the name, the word is also not known. So, now this not addressed properly in this modern day and age. This has become like even the people sometimes 40, 50, 70. They have told me, Bhante, nobody told us this. So, we just thought, no, it's a very simple, innocent thing. And they were doing all this social work and in the ashrams, but nobody explained to them. They were told to do some chanting and, but, then this one of them, when I explained to him, so this is something that starts from, especially the age of 14, this must be known. The ancient time when they were going to study in those Gurukula, this was already taught. The power of celibacy, the power of restraint, and the danger, the damage of that great force that you allow to sort of go out. So this Buddha has explained as grave offense, very interesting. When that experience comes to a peak of experience, now it's difficult for me to really exactly tell because it's not nice, it's not really, you know, but I hope you can guess, you know, with what I'm implying. When that experience of the peak experience, the reptilian brain completely takes over. The reptilian brain completely takes over. That means it shuts down the brain that you think can analyze and so on. So when that happens, my friend, just imagine, I was wondering how the Buddha, the MRI scan shows that. How the Buddha has seen all these things and known. Why he put these rules? is not just for our bird, it is for our protection. So that we will not damage our brain and our development of tranquility. So when I saw this, it was very interesting. So this, my friends, knowing the danger of this, in the West, very interesting, even in England and in America, Australia, all these places, I found there have been groups formed to keep away from these perverted practices. So that's why I said anything that you do, clean, even in a toilet or anything, that is something which is damaging you. And there are beings who eat that muck and they are forming their body. So they create this addiction. So when you know, when you recognize this, you'll be more careful. And the interesting thing was, these groups of people have formed in other countries without a religion, without anything, knowing the damage. So they keep away from these things for 3 days because it's a challenge. You can't, it needs special effort because you got so used to it. Your body got used to it. It's like coming out of heroin or drugs. So you need to target and encourage or give encouragement or incentive for you to sort of continue. So they target 3 days, I practice this. It's 1 week, 1 month, like that. So this practice, this name of this actually, it's called NoFap. You can refer the internet, YouTube, NoFap. This might be good for the children who are growing for further. I hope this knowledge will come, because this knowledge, and it's like Wagon and all that, you have this, who are like this, there's a group. I thought Sri Lanka should know better, the people. Otherwise, they will damage their soul. In the Christian tradition also, they knew about it. They say it's the working of the demon. So this is one of my main missions. Someone told me this when I was a young boy. And we got all information from college, our friends, and it was all misinformation. And so this is very important. The other thing I want to stress is like, marriage is like becoming a monk. Like this. You marry one person so that you save yourself from doing greater karma. More you do bad karma, you get distracted to any person other than yours, how boring your one person is, you stick to that person. That protects you. I'm giving you some tips and points. Because if you do mistakes in these things in life, forget about Satipatthana and all that. You are thinking of higher liberation, you can't get that tranquility. Your tranquility is when you find a perfect wife or a husband. And that is a phantom, it's like going behind a carrot or something. You know the carrot? You have this carrot, the horse, no? It's always going, so at the age of 80 you have your last marriage, I think. Before final thinking something. So this will happen if you didn't have this knowledge, my friends. So this is something I tell you, marriage is like, it's also you notice a reflection of you, what you have to become perfect of, you are meeting. So that part which you is imperfect in you will manifest more in the partner you have. So it comes as a teacher for you to perfect all relationships. You should not run away from relationship, and you should see this how to see that pattern happening. And to remove the selfishness and that misunderstanding and to see the ego working, and it's come to purify you. So I think in my idea is marriage is like becoming a monk. You stick to one person, how boring that person is. And of course if you are not married, you should live like a sadhu. Remove all perversions. See that how they come, how the fact is, there's a process. We have all these running behind things is based on going behind a fantasy. But then you must have to do the certain exercises to see this fantasy. To watch this when you are not experiencing it, like an exercise. Go through what you fantasize and see slowly the images of it. And when you really consciously watch that, you will see certain facts that will, that will create another impression in your brain to counteract when the actual experience comes again. Because when you go without the experience, then you will see, because your mind is not intoxicated by the experience, you will be a better observer and you will observe things you didn't observe before. That is the facts which are covering that particular fantasy, that is creating the fantasy, and that fantasy is broken, my friend. Anything that you attracted is attracted because you are living in a kind of a delusion about it. So when the delusion is broken, so these are some exercises you are doing on the internet. If something is bothering you, you can't give up. One thing is to see the danger of the negative force. The other thing is to remove the drive inside you. Now that is based on illusion, ignorance that is driving you. So what you do is, how to remove ignorance is to what? To watch, to observe more closely what you are ignorant of. So some things which, like certain memories of an experience, you bring it back consciously when you are relaxing and go through that experience, maybe going to a bar, how you went, how the drive was there. Then what happened in the bar? How was it when I was drinking drinks? How I met this person? How I went and, you know, enjoyed my time? And then how I had in the morning, how I had, what do you call it? Hangover. Okay. You see the problem in the hangover problem. That will create the imprint in the brain, account the imprint. It's not a small exercise. We never do that. So again, how much we get driven, like we are missing something. Now when that fantasy is removed from your system, you will see how great I was, I saved myself from this, you know, damaging thing. So this is one of the techniques. This is only so much you to a lower level. So these are, if you have these tools, my friend, you can, you know, clear from all these problems. So I tell to have marriage is like, you know, like becoming a monk. And the other thing is, when you are married, I don't have this experience, but I think it's the ideal thing. Finally, you are there to evolve as human beings, not to become animals. To evolve as human beings and get self-realization and get tranquility. You are helping each other. So I think it's good to use that relationship to, if you have any temptation or any other perversion, use that relationship. You must be honest to yourself and to honest to the surroundings around you. And if you can, and then to develop this self-restraint in a certain way, using these techniques and developing these higher experiences of mental peace. As I told you, when you're working, going to job, slowly bringing that tranquility. And later on, the ideal situation is you get to the, together or lose this energy just to create a child. Other than that, my friends, I see it's all a misuse and it has great after effect. You know, I mean, I would call this, there are very visible ones who would care, you know, you become like feather brain. When you get older, when you become an old person, you can see a lot of this happening. And also in the modern, you know, sort of situation, person is so old, he's still having these problems. Even in aged care places, you know, I hear stories people were looking after, you know, like they are planning their, you know, relationship even in that situation. Because psychologically it's not changed, it's not clean, it's not enlightened, it's not been liberated. So the body ages and you can't do what you want to do. It goes to anger, frustration and secretly doing things. I don't know, in Australia I got a lot of information who are working in those places. Very interesting. Now these are facts, you know. You can't just hide and sort of keep. These are the realities of what's going on. And we are also going through this modern system of education and civilization. So this knowledge is not parted, this knowledge is not practiced. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this, this is our job to revive it and bring it so that we will create more happiness in the people, and especially when they're getting old, that they can enjoy this, you know, and they will not be in a hell. So I parted a lot of interesting stuff today, right? It's quite fresh and energized. I also like, you know, because this is very tough for me also to come and sort of, so it's like I had to warm up to this kind of traveling from Italy, Switzerland, like this, you know. So this thing, and from there to London, and program every day. But I'm very happy. Any questions?
Any question? I think this is... Anything you like to ask? You like to write everything because if you are shy. But I think I would have answered your questions, you know. And some... I think I should have. Anything you like to ask? Sorry, I am now getting old, you know. My sight is failing and my hearing is failing.
You brought a nice conversation very long that sensual and visual and all the way desire. Could you please expand on this and how we can use this on meditation?
Other thing is my brain doesn't work for questions and I'm like in a hibernated state, tell you honestly. It's my brain is like, I don't know what it is, it's kind of, now today is okay. It's working now again. Because it's not going to that, it's like no thought, I don't know what it is. This is a positive way for me to think about it. But it could be a brain damage also from the higher.
No, actually, what I was trying to ask you is a few things. The time has elapsed, so that we'll continue this in some other day.
No, you can ask this.
No, actually, it's,
another day I will not exist. Now is the existing moment.
No, I can always get the ask of the police.
Is it time? Be a problem of time, or is it time? I don't think, no problem. My programs go up till 3, 4 hours now. But today...
I don't think it will be enough for that.
You can ask quickly, it's okay. You can ask quickly. You can ask, no problem. Just I will answer very quickly, fast. Unless you're shy, no problem.
No. Actually, you brought up the conversation just before. This sensual and visual auditory desires.
Sensual and visual?
Yeah. And auditory desires. And how can you practice this in meditation?
Okay, I understand.
And also, if people are angry and temper, how can we sort of try and help, or how we can understand?
You see, I was talking about the visual means like how to control the senses, right?
Yes, sir.
And regarding sensuality, actually it's a one small technique or practice. It's called sense restraint. It's a technique to stop the monkey mind. And so I demonstrated also, you know, like how you see without details and how you see with details. So this is something to train, where you screen what what goes into your brain, what triggers the mind, so which is not detrimental, you know, it's also with food and everything. When you do this, now the way person gets angry, you can know the desires of the person. Normally we think to overcome anger, it is to do metta meditation. No. This is still very superficial. It's not rooted out. Actually, to reduce our desires is the natural process of removing anger. Because more desire means when you enjoy a desire, a lot of energy is lost from your system. When energy is lost, the ability not to, like you can't withstand something, that is the anger. You don't have the strength, you got so weak. Say, for example, a monk like me. You don't give me food for 5-6 days. I don't have a bath. And I just, I don't get sleep for 5 days. I will get angry after 5 days. Unless I have a real something, I have experience. Because, when you don't have energy, once there was one policeman walking, when I was in Sri Lanka discoursing, he was walking around, he didn't come immediately. I will not go to that story.
But one thing is lack of losing energy. So when you don't lose energy, when you gain energy, when you find where are your desires, you are giving to desire, the byproduct of that will be, you will be an irritated person. You will be, you know, you can't stand, you will be sensitive. But when you gain energy and when you have enough energy by not enjoying, because enjoyment, I think, if you enjoy like tasting the food also, more than the calories you get, the tasting of the food, you lose energy. That's the mental energy. So I think sometimes some people ask Bhante why you eat little also and how you manage and all that, all these talks and all that. There's something in it. We take food, but we make sure we don't taste the food very much in the practice. So more than from the calories or whatever, the moment we are not tasting, there's super energy coming into the system. And sometimes we must notice when we find fault of others, it is our anger. Like we criticize or we blame somebody, we must notice how this thought originates, how it comes. Then you will understand when there is anger only, that makes you to... So when you have a desire to help someone special, you see how it's an attachment that is in you. That, you know, you have got attached somewhere. You got to, that's why you want specially. Yeah. Any other question quickly? Yeah.
Any so other can question? I ask a short question and a short answer? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why did you choose to be a wandering monk, especially in places like the Himalayas and Nepal?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I didn't choose, like, you know, I really chose to, maybe, I can only explain this through previous habit. I would have been a wandering monk previous life too, because I feel it's like, you know, fish in the water for me. It's not something unusual, like, even wandering on barefoot or, so my teacher saying, like, we met a soul companion, my master who really gave me the German monk. So it's like, so I don't recommend all monks or even, I see it's my personal life. You don't have to, this is my personal life. And I see this, I would have done in the past, some places are familiar to me. More than, one interesting thing happened to me in Anuradhapura, as an early time of my first Pindapatha in Anuradhapura, Armstrong. I happened to early morning go Armstrong and just, I was looking for a place to take my food. And I found some ruins somewhere, and I just went down, it looked so inviting, and I was taking the food there. After, I was so curious to know what this place is. I'm going very fast. So, after that, I went and read the board there. It is said that it was written there, this was the old dining hall of the monks. So, to give you an idea, we are repeatedly coming to places we have been before. So the same things we are doing also. So any other question? Any? No, no. Okay, you have fully understood everything, right? Now you're flying to the ceiling, is it? Okay. Sorry, I said that. Some small exercise I will do. Now other very important point is, now after here, what will you do? What is the main point you got? What will you do after leaving here? Will you listen to my YouTube? Do you think I find out who this Bhante is? Will you? And do you think you will get all the answers also? Especially to, I'm sure you have a goal, you don't want to be just spiritual, you want to be really fully enlightened, right? But how do you know this Bhante is fully enlightened? Because he has a little shine in his face? Maybe he applied Nivea before he came. Anything? We can't. You know, normally it's a reflection of us. We see others. I remember once one of my assistants, long years ago, who took me to when I was in India. He saw somebody, a guru there, like he was full of sensuality. To see it was his own, and that guru showed to him, very interesting, that it was his own sensuality was reflecting like that. I cut short the story, what happened, it was very interesting. So this, that what was in his, the glasses he was wearing, he was seeing the world through them. So then he came to the point, oh my goodness. So my friends, it's difficult to judge like that. But if you want to become enlightened, have you heard about Sotapanna? Now this is the aspiration in Norse to glimpse liberation. That is what Sotapanna means. A stream entrant. Stream to realizing, self-realization. That is where you first properly realize the how the ego, what how the ego forming, there's no ego. How this, what are slow, before explaining. If you think that much and observe, you will attain it. But my friends, not listen to that explanation only. We don't know whether it is in the proper. So now, there are four factors they say to attain this. This is the cause for attaining enlightenment. They are called Satpurusha Samsevo, Satdhamma Savana, Yodhiso Marsikara, Dhammana Dhamma Patipatya. Now Satpurusha means, friends, someone who has seen, experienced this, an enlightened person at least. Now these days we don't know. We can't rely on someone, you know, that whether he has really is guiding us properly. And the Buddha also gave some advices that even if you hear that some person is enlightened and so on, don't say yes, don't say no. This was his last advice. Just check what they say with my original teaching, original words, what I spoke. And if they tell you, follow that. If they don't, think they have misunderstood. So my friends, my teacher also taught me that if there is someone sincere, any monk, he will direct you to the original words. Definitely you not stay to listen to his YouTube clips. Because if you have an experience through the original words, you know that what authority, and that's the final power that can liberate the person. So it's very important if you want to really study this old practice is called Paryapti Pratipati Prativeda. Paryapti means this is a map, the original map to study. Pratipati means practice. Just you don't read only like a scholar, you practice, you meditate a little bit, read a bit like this. So this is my final. I hope this you can keep it in mind. One day, if you really want to get answers for all the questions, better ask from the horse's mouth, not from... So, the original teaching, there's one book I recommend, Birth of the Buddha, by Nyanatiloka Mahathera. This book is like a handy book, taken from the suttas, under the Four Noble Truths, and you have this explanation of the four elements, and so on. Very interesting, I have no time, maybe short exercise I will do immediately, that where how you apply what you read there. And then you will see the world through that vision. And in situations of this difficulty, you will be able to overcome it, of irritation, and just watch through that. It should be like that, not just reading and keeping it aside. You have to read it again. Because when you improve, when you become purified as course of time, you will see different meanings from that. That's very important. This Dhamma is not something you can read aside. There are visions that you get. So when you improve your life, when you become tranquilized more, you will get a different experience. So after 10 years, you get another different experience. When you stop drinking and smoking, your brain will function in a more different way. So this, my friends, this reading the books, one is Word of the Buddha and the other one is Middle End Discourses by Bhikkhu Bodhi. I recommend this. Because whatever I told you about, you know, the four steps and all that, like sense control, food control, all those things are told, is Garaka Mukhalana Sutta. So this I practically told how to do a little bit, how in the car, how to do, because when you do, you really master what it really means. Just by reading it, you will never know about it, my friends. It's like some food, you know, how much a spoon is touching, Buddha says, it never knows the taste. But you put few drops into the tongue, it quickly knows the taste. Same way, through your wisdom and if you are wise, it won't take long for you to quickly master it. And I don't think you have to always come listening to discourses. You should be a changed person. And this I wish all of you. And a small exercise I will do at the last. One thing before you practice, you must learn to relax your body. I'm just giving you a small tip. And now when I say relax, all of you are changing your body. Were you not relaxed all this time? Were you in tension? And now
a bit. And when I say relax, you know, you must feel how you're seated properly and comfortably. Take a deep breath and just out breath, just completely relaxing. And pay attention to the sounds you're hearing right now. Do you hear any sound? Don't resist the sound, you really try to hear the sound. Like I was telling the gentleman, feel the steering wheel. Feel the seat touching his back. Like that. You can hear small baby talking. While you are relaxing. Just pay attention to the sound of that baby. And while you are doing that, just relax with it. Just relax. And you relax like that. I think he's a good pupil. I normally do something to check whether you are relaxed, the physical relaxation. There's no time, so I will just call somebody just close to me quickly. And just look here. Look at the where I'm seated, right? Don't close your eyes.
So I try to lift this hand. And I have to salat.
This relaxed you should be. You get an idea. If you're holding on like this, still you're not having the basic physical letting go. So this, and a small one I'll quickly do because you're in a hurry. Now I'm coming to the cherry part of the discourse.
Take your hands like this. Even the children will like it, right? It's a quick sakpan, I would call it. Just, it must be too vigorous, right? And then relax. Okay.
Just feel that relaxing. Now pay attention to the sounds of the baby. Any other sound? If you're really relaxed, you will begin to notice things you didn't notice before. Just enjoy just sitting. Think you're seated in front of a seashore or in a park. And you will notice your breathing, your inhaling, exhaling. This should not come consciously. When you're just naturally relaxing, you can. This is a sign that you are coming close to the present moment. You're just noticing. You're not trying to control the breath or anything. You will notice the inhalation, exhalation. And you're relaxing with it. And just paying attention to the baby talking and you breathing. When you're doing that, still like looking from outside, you look at your own body, how you're dressed up. In my case, with robes. And in your case, t-shirt, jersey. Just picture yourself dressed and seated. And then
giving you a small idea in case you read those books, the Satipatthana Sutta or anything, how you apply to yourself. Rupam Bhikkave Nityanva Nityanva. Today's question, is the body permanent or impermanent? So to answer him, you don't just hide. You just really find it for yourself. Not what you have heard. When you look at your own body, like from outside, definitely, you're not going to live for 1,000 years. It's going to hold, and definitely it's going to die. When you get a definite feeling by your own observation, with the idea of letting go of the body, letting go means relaxing, then you understand it will go. Then you answer the Buddha, anityam bhante, impermanent. Yampana anityam dukkham vatam sukham vatam. What is impermanent? Is it happiness or sadness? Then you know if it's bound to change. If Obama knew that the body was bound to change, or Bill Clinton, or what's his name? If though any human being had this idea, will he have any desires? No. He will let go of it without peace. So, whatever good experience you have, if it is in the realm of finishing, then it will be sadness. So you have to answer the Buddha, Dukkham Bhante. Yampana Nityan Dukkham Viparinama Dhamma Kandantam Samanupasim Etamma Esohamasma Esohamita. What is impermanent, changing and suffering? Can you call it me, myself? Not so, you can answer the Buddha, no. When you really watch yourself like that and let go of all the things that bind you, it becomes a tremendous peace. How nice if I really absorb or realize deeply how much peace I will get. And the pinnacle of this will be to realize Nibbana. And you wish for yourself, may I experience this more and more. Just like me, all who